station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night here. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Are you thankful this week? Well, I should hope so because it is the week of Thanksgiving. Y'all, I got to tell you right now, I am tired. The shift has been happening so much to the effect that I'm just ready to go to sleep, but I would never do that to y'all tonight. Never, because I love you and I'm thankful for you. Sky Sheridan was supposed to be here tonight. You know, the part three of Shifting Your Life. Unfortunately, Sky is on a photo shoot right now, so he's unable to be here. But that's all right, because we take life to the max. And I believe that when Sky is supposed to be here and the universe is asking for us to surrender ourselves to it, that we have to just go with the flow and enjoy. So take that, take the flow and live with it. And Sky will be back. We'll have part three again. Are you all loving this whole life class with Max Tucci here on Max and Friends? It's been fun, right? Well, here's the thing. Part one and part two, they're available right here on Max and Friends on latalkradio.com. You can go to there, go to the archives, pull them, love them, listen to them, write things down, own your life, and get ready for the shift to happen. Speaking of shifts, we got to shift the show last minute, but, you know, I'm used to that. Speaking of shows, I got to say a big shout out to the Dr. Steve Show, Dr. Steve Show, on Pix 11 WPIX in New York and everywhere else. Thank you for having me on your show. I was on there, cooked with Arizona iced tea. You know how they say, Max and Friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. He's got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. Well, I've got the recipe tonight because we're going to give you some Thanksgiving recipes because in just a minute, I've got the Foodie Tutor here. That's right, Sophie Backer's here. And the Foodie Tutor is a great concept that we came up with, Sophie and I. We've created it. It's going to be a show. We're like right now in post-production, so it's really exciting. And you guys are going to love the whole Foodie Tutor concept. Well, she's here tonight, and we're going to ask you to call in and give us your recipes. The number to the studio is 323-203-0815. That's the number here. I hope you call us. But until then, I think we're alone now by Tiffany. And when we're back, Sophie Backer, the Foodie Tutor, will be here. You're listening to Max and Friends. Stay tuned. Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was our girl, Tiffany, and I think we're alone now. But I don't think we're alone now because we got the foodie tutor here.
Here comes foodie tutor now.
Foodie tutor. Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, my foodie tutor, Sophie Backer? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, happy Thanksgiving week. I know it's a week that you take very personally, don't you?
Oh, yeah. This is the best week of the year.
Now, what is it that inspires you so much about Thanksgiving week, Sophie?
I don't know. It's just, you know, it seems like it's how it started with me. I loved cooking Thanksgiving years ago, and it became something ridiculous. And it's really what sparked cooking for me, and now it's become what it is, which is a carnival ride of ridiculousness every year.
It's a big part of your life. So much to the fact that, you know, when I first met you and I was a little bird told me that you wanted to do some kind of a cooking show, a cooking book. I said, who is this Sophie Backer girl? So we checked you out. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, here we are creating a TV show together called The Foodie Tutor. How much fun was it filming this show?
Ridiculous. Oh, my gosh.
Did you ever think that, like, one day you would, like, be featured in a kitchen on your own cooking show called The Foodie Tutor?
Never. I actually used to joke about that. I would never do that.
And now you got a jingle. Your webpage is coming out. So we're all letting you know who Sophie is right now. And then when the webpage comes out, y'all going to hit it up because there's going to be some fun stuff there. You can catch me there, too. Because, you know, I'm one of the creators of the show along with Sophie. Yes, we are. We're the creators of the show, The Foodie Tutor. But here's the story, you guys. This week, I know it's hectic. Thanksgiving is here. Y'all are just, like, unbelievable. It's the time of the year right now where everyone's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's already Thanksgiving. Well, like I said earlier in the show, I was on the Dr. Steve show on WPIX in New York, PIX 11. Hi to everybody out there, Diana, Kelly. What's up, my Dr. Steve crew? What's up, Dr. Steve? Well, here's the deal. I went on the show, and I made a great Thanksgiving antioxidant baked ham. And how I did it, we're going to give you some recipes tonight, Sophie and I. So simple. Get your paper ready. Get your pencil ready. Get your iPads ready. Write this down. And if you want to check us out, go to the LA Talk Radio, go to the App Store and get our free app there because it's good. It's a good place to be. So check out drinkarizona.com because there is you're going to find out all the flavors. I love the pomegranate green tea. And so what I did with this recipe, it's so super simple, so amazing. So get your recipe pencils ready, people. Thanksgiving, I love a good old ham. It's a tradition in my household in Connecticut. You know, it's the quintessential New England baked ham. Get a baked ham, 8.5 pounds, 25 minutes per pound. So it's about 2.5 hours. And you're going to want to wash it off, get all that sodium, all the nasty off, cut the fat off, cut a little of the skin off, get it nice and clean, prepare it. Then you're going to score it, put some cloves in it. And here's my favorite part. Cut up pomegranates and put them right in the pan with this baked ham. And after you do that, you're going to get what is one of my favorite things, which is the Arizona pomegranate green tea. And you just pour that right on over that nice, beautiful ham. All right? Put that in the oven for about 1.5 hours. Then get some brown sugar and get some wonderful – I love brown sugar. I think it's so good. Brown sugar and some mustard of your choice. Mix those together at the 1.5-hour point. Pull that nice ham right out, and you're going to baste it. Brush it beautifully. Get that ham all nice, and just baste it, okay? And then pour another bottle of Arizona pomegranate green tea. Put it in for a remaining hour, and that is going to be one of the most divine things ever. That Thanksgiving antioxidant baked ham with Arizona pomegranate green tea. Antioxidants, if you can imagine. So go to drinkarizona.com for more recipes on that. And also check out the Dr. Steve show where you could watch my video there. I'll post it on YouTube. I'll post it on Facebook. And, of course, on Twitter. Follow me there, maxtucci.com. And Twitter, of course, .com/maxtucci. Now, Sophie, that's one of my favorite recipes. So I want to hear one of yours. I hear you got something brewing where I could use my Oscar's Delmonico vodka.
I do, actually. You know, just past February, I turned 21. So I've been having a lot of fun playing with a lot of different cocktails. And I'm really excited for this Thanksgiving to make a pear martini. because I've decided to do a ton of my desserts with pears this year, and I wanted to tie it in a little bit. So I found a recipe that you would do equal parts of vodka.
Oscar's Delonico vodka.
Absolutely, nothing but the best.
And then, after the vodka, what do we put in?
You'd put in equal parts of the vodka, the simple syrup, and the lemon. Mm-hmm. And then you would puree some pears and put just a little bit of that into it, depending on what your liking is, if you want it sweeter or not. And shake it up in your martini shaker with some ice. And then it's that simple. And I cannot wait to try this out.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I love pears. Pears are one of my favorite things. So incorporate them in a drink. And it's so easy, just like that.
Right. Wow. And, you know, you can always use those artificial vodkas, but I really like this because you use the fresh pureed pear. You're not drinking some artificial drunk.
Absolutely. You know, what's so funny is that I was in Connecticut this week. I'm in Florida now, everyone. And when I was at home, I poured out so many of those nasty, cheap mixers that are full of corn syrup, full of sugar, full of color, full of nasty. And to have something that's fresh and natural and delicious, I'm all for it, my foodie tutor. Hey, Ronan, can you play the foodie tutor jingle again real quick? Because we got Sophie Backer, the foodie tutor, here.
Here comes foodie tutor now.
Foodie tutor. Yeah.
All right, Sophie, pull out another recipe out that chef hat of yours, my friend.
All right. Well, every year that I've been doing Thanksgiving, which has probably been 5 or 6 years now since I've taken it over personally, I've been making the spinach cheese puff because it's actually one of my father's favorites, and I just can't take it off the menu. It's so super simple, and it tastes a little bit more special than the everyday creamed spinach. It's made with Gruyere cheese, and it's perfect for Thanksgiving because you can actually make it a day ahead, and it tastes even better.
So how do we make it?
Well, what you'll do is you'll get the frozen spinach from your freezer section, 30 ounces of it, and you'll thaw it out. And then after you wring out all that water, and you have to make sure that you wring out all the water, otherwise it's going to be a really runny dish. You mix it up with some half and half and some eggs and your Gruyere cheese, just a little bit of salt, pepper, and nutmeg. You put it in your dish, and then you sprinkle it with more Gruyere cheese, and you pop it in the oven for 30 minutes. And that
is 30 minutes.
Absolutely it. That
sounds delicious. And you just mix all those flavors together, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you do it the day before, all you need to do is reduce the cooking time for about 10 minutes less, and then the next day cook it again for about 20 more minutes, and it'll be perfect. It tastes even better the next day.
I'm sure. Listen, I always love those leftovers the next day. So, you know, Sophie, I got to tell you, here you are, you're going to culinary school in January in Colorado. What school are you going to?
I'm going to the August Escoffier Culinary School in Boulder, Colorado.
How fantastic. Are you excited to go there?
So excited. I've never lived in the snow, so I'm a little bit afraid of that. But I'm
You're
sure
gonna
I'll
love
be fine.
You will love
I'll
it.
I'll just spend all my time in front of the oven, and I'll never get cold.
That's the truth. Well, you know what? Here's the deal, Soph. You know, I want to talk a little bit about you because you've actually had a very interesting culinary career. Tell us about your culinary career so far at the young age of 21.
Well, I started cooking when I was about 15 years old just for fun, and I realized I had a knack for it, and I spent every waking moment in the kitchen. And when I was 16, I decided to try and get a part-time job after school working. So I went to a local restaurant in town. And obviously, I went big. I found a 4-star restaurant in town that I loved. And I applied to be the assistant pastry chef. And I actually worked there for a year.
And how old were you at that point?
I was 16.
At 16 years old.
Yeah, I can't believe that they actually let me do that. But they even let me run the kitchen when the head pastry chef was out of town.
Unbelievable. So this is why you're the foodie tutor, because you know a thing or two about food, right? You know,
I think so.
I know so. You know what my favorite thing was on the show, Foodie Tutor, everyone? Hey, listen, you guys, you can go to Foodie Tutor on Facebook because there's a page there. And, of course, on Twitter, follow Foodie Tutor there. Follow Foodie University. And, of course, the fan page, Foodie Tutor fan page with Sophie Backer. It's so much fun because when this kicks off, which is going to be probably about next week, the Foodie Tutor webpage, it's going to be such an exciting thing for kids who really don't know how to cook or who are scared of the, you know, of the kitchen, who are scared to be creative. Sophie's going to be your basically personal foodie tutor and give you recipes like we're doing right now. So it's the perfect time to launch this because everyone's home. So Sophie, I know you have another great recipe, but before we get to that recipe, Ronan, who are people listening to? This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. I've got the foodie tutors, Sophie Backer here. It's 11:20 in New York, which means it's 8:20 in L.A. Set your clocks. They're 2 minute fast. I give you that 2 minute grace period to start your day. But listen, people, I got to tell you another great thing. Sophie, do you think it's too soon for holiday music?
Oh, my goodness. It kind of drives me crazy every year.
You know, it kind of drives me crazy, too. But you know what? Like every year what we do on Max and Friends, we have our Max's Favorite Things giveaway. And it's this time of the year where we start playing our holiday music. You know what I mean? So it just gets people in the mood. Because I think once you hear that music, Sophie, that holiday music, you realize, oh my God, holy shit. It's like Thanksgiving and now Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's. And oh my God, what's going to happen? So we got to get people ready because Black Friday is coming up this week. It's crazy.
I get it. It's crazy.
Well, what's crazy
is upon us.
It is upon us. Your favorite week, which is Thanksgiving. I can't wait to cook with you this week. We're going to have so much fun. But you know what? Before we get to your last recipe for Max and Friends tonight, we're going to play a holiday song here on Max and Friends. So everyone, happy holidays on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio. Sophie Backer, the foodie tutor, when we're back.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. May the calendar keep bringing happy holidays to you. Thank you. holiday. May the calendar keep ringing happy holidays to you.
Oscars Delmonico Vodka. History repeating itself. Celebrate the classic taste of the original Oscars Delmonico as a super premium vodka. Cheers at Sinopin. To purchase Oscars Delmonico Vodka, please visit horseneck.com or dial 203-869-8944. Celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. That was a remix, of course, because you know how I do things here. It's not the holidays unless it's remixed, right, everyone? So happy holidays from Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. I've got the foodie tutor, Sophie Backer, here with me. So, Sophie, wasn't that a cool remix of a happy holidays song?
I actually did enjoy it.
You
it
see?
Very cool.
Totally groovy, right? We give you groovy things on Max and Friends. Well, listen, I want to get your groovy recipe. So why don't you tell us your third recipe for the show today?
Okay. Well, for Thanksgiving, I really do like the tradition of the classic dishes. But I try to find dishes that improve upon the classics. So for the last couple years, I've been doing this pumpkin pie recipe that instead of the simple crust on the bottom that always ends up, you know, being kind of soggy and mushy
and mushy.
Bland. Yeah. I mean, that's not what you want your pumpkin pie to be like. And you only end up eating the top of the pie then. So ridiculous. I've started doing a graham cracker crust on the bottom. So that you have that really nice crunchy crust that you look for.
How do you make this crunchy crust? Tell us how to make the pie.
Well, graham cracker crusts are really simple. You crush up about a cup and a half of graham cracker crumbs with some butter and some sugar and a little bit of cinnamon. And then for the pumpkin pie filling, what I love about this recipe is that it basically has every spice in your cabinet. And that's what you want in your pumpkin pie. I mean, at least I do. And it's also special because it actually has a little bit of heavy cream and some vanilla bean, which is special and not every pumpkin pie has. So it's got eggs and sugar and butter and heavy cream, cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, cloves. I mean,
it's the perfect pumpkin pie.
It really is. I mean,
now,
there's
Sophie,
nothing
can you
better
put these recipes?
Pie.
That's the truth. I can't wait to have it. I wish Thanksgiving were tomorrow, baby. But listen, can you put these recipes on your Foodie Tutor page on Facebook?
Absolutely. I totally can. This recipe that I'm telling you about right now was created by the fantastic Bobby Flay.
Well, there you go.
So if you want, you can go to foodnetwork.com. But I will definitely be posting them on my Facebook page.
Yes, and then soon on foodietutor.com and is it foodieuniversity.com or foodietutor.com?
It's foodietutor.com.
All right, I thought so. Just wasn't sure because it's the tastiest set y'all are ever going to see. And it's the tastiest homework assignment that y'all are ever going to get. So everyone, here's the story. If you have any questions for Sophie and if you want to get them answered, go to her Foodie Tutor page on Facebook and follow her on Twitter. That's twitter.com/foodietutor. Well, Soph, it's been so much fun having you here tonight. I'm glad you were part of Max and Friends. We're going to have to do more of these cooking segments. I think they're fun to give people some ideas, don't you?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was so much fun.
It was fun, and I look forward to seeing Foodie Tutor on the waves of television. So, hey, Food Network, check out Foodie Tutor. Hey, Ronan, tell everyone else what to check out Foodie Tutor. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and we are going to say goodnight to our guest, the Foodie Tutor. So, Sophie, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And I will see
Thank you
tomorrow.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. Hey, Ronan, who is Sophie Backer?
Here comes Foodie Tutor now.
Foodie Tutor. Yeah.
That song needs to be remixed because there goes Foodie Tutor. Foodie Tutor now. She just was here. Sophie Backer, Foodie Tutor. Go right now to that Facebook page. Join it. Love it. And send in your requests. We want to hear what you guys want to say. We want to hear what you guys want to make. And until then, we want to have a future love with you. Varsity fan come future. I'm ahead of the game right now. Varsity Fan Club. We haven't played them in a while, so I forgot how to say their name. The Varsity Fan Club future love. But when we're back from that song, we're going to have Hunter Cross and Thelonious Monk here giving us hot topics on what's going on in this world of politics. And, of course, with this insanity at Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street and pepper spray. I mean, pepper, who knew? It's one of our ingredients. Also, I want you all to check out PleaseDrinkArizona.com and click on recipes because I want you to cook those recipes there. And Future Love by Varsity Fan Club. When we're back, Thelonious Monk and Hunter Cross on Max and Friends.
Sound in.
and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. Well, I've got Hunter Cross here tonight because we're going to give you some hot topics, Ronan.
Hey, y'all, guys and girls. Pick a topic and
we're going to pick a topic and drop it here tonight. Welcome back, Hunter Cross. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing, Max?
Well, I'm doing well. You know, there's been some crazy things going on this week in politics. First, before we start with anything, I just want to talk about this whole Occupy Wall Street and what happened to these students with that. I guess it was a security campus guard who sprayed a line of silent protesters in the face, not even more than a foot away, with pepper spray. What do you have to say?
It was unbelievable. The video speaks for itself. Basically, these kids are sitting there in a peaceful way, lined up in a circle, and then they just got sprayed by obviously a security guard who went nuts, a campus cop.
What do you think gives the right for someone to just obviously? I could understand if there was violence, if there was threatening, but these kids, you can see it blatantly in the video, sitting there, lined up, silent protesting, getting sprayed in the face. What goes through someone's mind, do you think?
It's hard to imagine. I think that most people who've met campus police officers know that they often are people who haven't been able to get more traditional police jobs, and they aren't necessarily the highest caliber police officers. They're not properly trained. They get overwhelmed when there's these kinds of mass rallies because they're not typically involved in real law enforcement. And I think this is what happens when you've got poorly trained people and you give them weapons and you give them authority. Sometimes they go crazy, and this is one of those examples.
But they also go crazy because what happens now when, you know, there's that nonsense going on with the cop where he punched the guy in the face. The picture's been all over, the bloody face. Then the other cop, you know, who harmed the soldier. What is going on? Is it just like desperation where these cops, they're not – American cops, I don't think, are trained for riots.
I think that they're poorly trained. They're not accustomed to it. Americans have been sitting on their hands for the last 30 years and not demonstrating or organizing. And you've got these police officers who have no experience. And I think also I'm not a great defender of the police because I think that often they're not out to protect us. They're more out to protect themselves. But I think that what happens to these police officers is they're under enormous stress. There's so few of them when compared to the overwhelming mobs that they're trying to control. I think they get to wit's end where they're accustomed to people kissing their ring and bowing to their demands. And when they don't do it, they get frustrated, and this is how they lash out.
Well, it's funny because they do. The police cars, I think it's funny when the police cars say to protect and to serve, because my always joke is they protect and to serve us with an attitude. But you know what? Speaking of attitudes, there's been a whole political attitude, and a lot of things have been said this weekend, this past week, you know, with our friend Kane. I think every time Kane says something, there's a great saying, put your foot in your fucking mouth. And, you know, I think he needs to start doing that. Let's play the clip, and we'll explain why. Ronan, hit the clip of Kane, please, on abortion.
What would you do specifically to prevent abortion on demand and defend traditional marriage?
What would I do specifically to prevent abortion on demand and to defend traditional marriage? I believe that we need a constitutional guarantee for traditional marriage between a man and a woman in terms of preventing abortion on demand. I would not sign any legislation where government-funded abortion. I would not sign any legislation that in any way allowed the government to be involved in it. I would strengthen all of our current laws that prevent abortion. I believe that abortion should be clearly stated and illegal across this country. And I would work to defund Planned Parenthood. And I will make sure that I appoint judges that will enforce the Constitution, no activist judges. And I would also make sure that we didn't allow any bureaucrats to get in the way in order to protect the life of the unborn.
Bureaucrats. You know, Hunter Cross, 999. I mean, what do you have to say about this?
Well, it's really interesting that they seem to forget that abortion is legal in this country because it was our Supreme Court of the United States said that it's legal and that it's a woman's right. So they can't make laws to make abortion illegal. All they can do is try and make laws that make it more difficult. It always strikes me when you hear people who – Herman Cain up until now has pretty much been speaking his mind and saying what he really thinks. And now that
but
his
he's
campaign –
But he's saying what he thinks, then he retracts, then he says it again. It's like he's like a ping pong game.
Well, only up till now. Up till he seems to be turning into a more – call him a handled politician. Up until now – you know, yeah, he was free to say stupid things and flub up the whole Libya thing, and China,
nuclear weapons.
China suddenly developing. You know, he expressed himself in a way that made sure everybody knew how ill-informed he was, and that was kind of what was charming about him. And oddly enough, other dumb people liked him. It seems like the dumb were like, yeah, he's one of us. Let's get a dumb one. Let's nominate a dumb one. So somebody who didn't know anything about politics, somebody who didn't know anything about Libya, didn't know anything about foreign policy, didn't know anything about China. I mean, that's their man. You know, the dumb had their man. And now suddenly these gains.
Well, it's interesting. Hold on. It's interesting you bring that up because, you know, with the Obama election, they said it was one of the most uneducated percentage of Americans that had ever voted for a president. So I think they're going on that route because it might be the same thing.
Well, perhaps so. But apparently that's kind of he had a kind of a folksy way about him. And I think that's what drew people to him. He was so much not like the more stiff like Mitt Romney, who is such a seasoned politician and knows how to dance around an issue and to cover every side of it to please everybody. That's what the more seasoned politicians do. Now, here you have Cain, who screwed up when he was asked the last time, suggesting that it was a woman's right to choose. When John Stossel was trying to nail him down.
Hold on. Hey, Ronan, do we have that clip there from when we had Cain on with the other abortion when he did the fumbling? If we can get that clip going. But you know what? Before we play that clip, let's play I want you all to hear what Ms. Bachman has to say about abortion.
But one thing that everyone has to recognize tonight in this room is that today we have, for the first time in the history of our country, taxpayer-subsidized abortion because of Obamacare. And the new playground of the left is in Obamacare because Planned Parenthood has just been given full lease in our public schools. And Planned Parenthood now will be pushing chemical abortion and billing that to the federal government under preventive care. We're in a whole new universe today than we've ever even comprehended because of Obamacare. And that's why this is the one election and the only chance that we have to repeal Obamacare.
How is it the only chance, Hunter?
I don't really know what she's talking about. Yet again, she just blathers on and on and on, and she never stops. She just keeps on talking until she says something dumb. And I don't know why it's the only time. The only possible explanation, if you try and make some sense out of what she says, is the only reason why maybe this is the only time is that once people become accustomed to the kind of benefits that have been promised with the healthcare reform, they're not going to want to go in reverse. Once people realize that they're not going to be able to be turned down because they had a pre-existing condition, once people realize that they can keep their children on their policy at a much lower rate for longer than they were before, and once they realize that there are various kinds of things that the insurance companies can't deny you for, and they become accustomed to having more fair health care and more fair treatment by their insurance companies, they're not going to want to go in reverse. That's, I think, what she's saying, is they need to try and dismantle it before the public realizes what a good deal it is. They've been bad-mouthing.
I think what you need to do is I think you need to write her speeches for her. But you know what? Please don't write a speech like this. Let's play the Cain, what he said the last time about abortion, the ping pong
quickie
one.
On a quick question on one more hot subject, yes. Abortion.
Yes.
You're against it.
I'm pro-life from conception, yes.
Any cases where it should be legal?
I don't think government should make that decision. I don't believe that government should make that decision.
People should be free to abort a bit.
I support life from conception. No, people shouldn't be just free to abort, because if we don't protect the sanctity of life from conception, we will also start to play God relative to life at the end of life.
So I'm confused on what your position is.
My position is I'm pro-life, period.
If a woman is raped, she should not be allowed to end the pregnancy?
That's her choice. That is not government's choice.
Good.
I support life from conception.
So abortion should be legal?
No, abortion should not be legal. I believe in the sanctity of life.
I'm not understanding. If it's her choice, that means it's legal.
No. I don't believe a woman should have an abortion. Does that help to clear it up?
Even if she is raped?
Even if she is raped, or if she's the victim of incest, because there are other options. We must protect the sanctity of life, and I have always believed that. Real clear.
Thank you, Ellis Hennekin. I wish we had more time for this. Mr. Kane, please stick around, because next...
This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. We're doing Hot Topics with Hunter Cross tonight. Of course, they're political Hot Topics. And that was Kane babbling on from what he said, the ping pong. Let's call him his ping pong speeches, because he goes from back and forth to back and forth to back and forth to what he has to say. But let's move away from Kane for a minute, because I want to talk about, we haven't heard about her in a while, Hunter, Sarah Palin. What's going on with her, do you think?
I think Sarah Palin is kind of just waiting this whole what somebody called it the other day. I was listening on the radio. They were talking about the debates, and I think we have 13 or 14 more of them. Someone said that they're like a reality show. We tune in to watch them because every time they have one, somebody says something completely dumb or someone trips over their own feet. You'll have Michelle Bachmann saying something dumb one week. You'll have Mitt Romney saying something dumb the next week. You'll have Rick Perry forgetting his own address the next week. It's hysterical. It's like Jersey Shore. So yeah.
You know what? Let's play the Sarah Palin clip that she said about Ron Paul.
Congressman Ron Paul, who is 19%, he's continuously done well in the Iowa polls, maybe not nationally, yet the media has, I think it's fair to say, has marginalized him, tried to make him almost invisible because he doesn't poll well nationally. But he's number two in Iowa right now. What strategy would you recommend to him? And if he does win in Iowa, if he pulls off Iowa on January 3rd, does that change the dynamics for him as he goes off to New Hampshire? Does he have a real shot? The media's written him off.
Ron Paul has very energized supporters that speaks well to his connection with that base that he has of libertarians and those who understand that the Fed is out of control and that we have spent our way into bankruptcy. So he's got that going for him, this base of strong supporters. It's unfortunate that he has been written off by the media. Some of the other candidates have too, unfortunately. Santorum, who has much to offer. Michelle Bachmann, who has much to offer in terms of her passion for conservative causes. What Ron Paul needs to do is keep preaching to Americans, keep educating us about the problems and our economic woes that have been caused by government overgrowth. He needs to keep doing what he's doing. It isn't fair he being written off when you consider, like in the last debate, he was given 89 seconds to respond to questions total. That's unfair. He can't whine about it, though. Supporters can demand better of the media, though, but Ron Paul, he himself, shouldn't be the one to whine to the media about the unfairness.
So I don't understand this, Hunter. So Ron Paul now has Sarah Palin whining for him? What the hell is that?
Yeah,
what,
I don't
what's
understand.
What's going on?
Well, first of all, Sarah Palin, she's always the first one to whine about how badly she was treated, talking about gotcha questions and talking about how she was being unfairly treated by the media and what have you. She was always the first one to complain. I don't know why Ron Paul can't complain on his own. He has to wait for someone else to do it. Anyway, Ron Paul, interestingly enough, I think that Ron Paul's problem is that he's a little crusty and he's not kind of somebody you can warm up to. And because he doesn't pander to his audience, he says what he thinks. And I think he really truly believes what he thinks. He's one of the few up in the Republican mix right now who I think you can believe that if he were elected, would actually do or at least try to do some of the things he's suggesting. And most of these other people, they don't have it. They say things that they're going to do that they really don't have constitutional authority to do. To say
you know
they're
going to. We're going to have to leave it at that because it's come to the point now where we've got to end this show. So I agree with you, Hunter. I think, you know what, though? There's a great quote that says you can't warm up to somebody who is cold. So we'll see what happens. But Hunter, what is your prediction for the Republican Party? Who do you think is going to be the forefront of the winner of it all?
I think that they're going to be begrudgingly nominate Mitt Romney.
You really think? Well, he's got the image, too.
Well, I just think that he's probably the best, most seasoned politician among them. And I think that he knows how to win races, even though he hasn't won a primary yet. I think that given the competition, he's likely to shoe in. If it's not him, it's going to be.
And who else do you think will be beside
him? If it's not going to be him, it might be Newt Gingrich. But that's scary.
That we'll talk about next week with Thelonious Monk when he's here. I'm sorry, guys. He was unable to be here tonight, so he sends his regrets. But, you know, we got to go on with the flow, life to the max, like I say here. But listen, if Mitt Romney does in fact get it, who do you think his vice president candidate should be?
I don't think that Mitt Romney is going to pick any of the people that are on that panel as a running mate. I think he'll probably – what he'll do because he is
Condoleezza Rice.
No, he's going to pick somebody from a state or a region that he doesn't think he would carry otherwise. So we'll probably hear somebody new will emerge. Since I think Governor Christie from New Jersey didn't want to run for president this year because he doesn't want to be president during this particular bad economic times, I think that he could potentially be a vice presidential candidate because I think he would want to be president after Romney's finished.
I agree. Well, you know what, Ronan? And I thank you, Hunter Cross, for being here tonight. That was Hot Topics, everyone. We're going to drop topics on Max and Friends, and we're going to take life to the max this week. I got to thank my guest, Sophie Backer, the foodie tutor. Of course, Hunter Cross, we had a great time. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. And remember to take life to the max. Have a very happy, happy Thanksgiving. Don't drink and drive, and if you drink this season, drink Oscar's Delmonico Vodka. And if you fly, fly Delta.com. Flights are on sale now, and I want you to mix some of that Arizona drink in there. So go to DrinkArizona.com and pour that in with your Oscar's Delmonico Vodka. All right, everyone, it comes to the time where we got to wrap this show up. Speaking of wrapping things up, wrap it up, play it safe. It's the holidays. Happy holidays to you. I love being here on Max and Friends, and I'm glad you all are here. Tune in next Sunday for another edition of Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Live life to the max. Good night, y'all.